Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blowout. And if there is a blowout, it's almost always in the 49ers' favor. The Rams, for whatever reason, they just, I don't know. Is it Sean McVay? Is it Matt Stafford? They see something on film that leads them to think, hey, we like our chances against the squad. Now, it gets to a point, Joe, when you need the bodies, and he might just not have the bodies tonight.
I mean, think about tonight, like, just the boombox walkout. Who's next to Trent?
Who's next to Trent?
Mac?
Jake Tonjes.
Oh my God.
Honestly,
Kendrick Bourne blasting his own album.
Honestly, if it is Mac Jones, I'd love that. Why not? Mac Jones should be like, they gravitate towards this guy. They've spoken to it. Trent Williams has spoken to it. Bosa,
I'd
McCaffrey.
Get Drew Gilbert. Hire Drew Gilbert for one night to play on special teams.
That's what we need. Him biting people's shoulder pads. We have enough problems here. We don't need rabies infections on
you
our players.
Talk about
okay,
keep the smelling salts away from someone on the sidelines. Woo!
By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk studio.
The recipe for winning this game, as much as we talk offense, I'm telling you, special teams has got to play perfect. And they need something special to actually happen on special teams. Big return, big turnover, big kicks. Some sort of a muff punt for them. I'm talking about the Rams. They need a defensive turnover. Like, you've got to be able to generate something for this offense to kind of get them going. Short fields, something.
I don't need an explosive kickoff return for a touchdown. Can I just get consistency close to the 30-yard line or past that? That's really all I'm looking for. Like, because I do think we underestimated in the media, the fans, whoever, these new kickoff rules, there's a strategy to it now. You have to be able to pinpoint the ball just perfectly enough inside that 20-yard line where it's like not a pooch per se, but it kind of is, where you're trying to just get it to roll and roll and roll just enough.
It's controlled trajectory.
Correct.
Almost like a three-quarter low golf shot and that you try to hit under the tree. Does
exactly,
that make sense?
Exactly. And they're trying to either do that or they're trying to just time it enough if you have a good enough kicker where it lofts just before the end zone hitting where they have to catch the ball and they can't take a knee or anything like that.
What did Baldy say this week? The guy for the Rams hits this knuckleball, kickoff that the Eagles really struggled with, and it affected them on every single kick return.
So not only are we looking at that from the return perspective, but Eddie Pinheiro, too. What we can't have is kickoff out of bounds. Like, that cannot happen.
So Adrian Martinez will be elevated for today as your QB2?
I'm assuming so, yes.
Do they have an emergency QB suited up?
I believe it's Kyle Shanahan. He'll have to put on the pads for that one. What is the status of his ACLs? I am not sure. I'm kidding, obviously, but I don't know. Christian McCaffrey, remember that?
Well, everybody made this big deal about Juice as your emergency quarterback. And then NFC Championship game, I didn't see Juice throw a ball.
No, they tried to give McCaffrey. They tried to make, Josh Johnson, God love the guy. They had to go back to Purdy, who didn't have an arm. And it just, that whole thing. I'm so sorry you had to be there in person for that. That must have been really hard.
Josh Johnson led them down on a drive.
He did. He absolutely
did. I turned
to
Bonte, I was like, I'm telling you, I think Josh Johnson can win this game.
Do you think
that just did not age well?
Do you think that there is anything to the 49ers taking over SoFi and that
I think it's going to be hard on a short week.
What do you mean?
Like Thursday night game, flying down for a Thursday night game, coming back.
I know a lot of people that are going down there.
Do
this
you?
Game. Yes. A lot
I don't
of my
know
friends
anybody.
Are.
Bonte's going.
Yeah, Bonte's going down there.
Is he?
Yes. Yeah. He is. He's going down there. All these people are.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
Well, I think his record for 49ers stuff is good. If he was going to a Giants game and it was a playoff, maybe that would have been bad.
It's not Giants-Padres.
It's not Giants-Padres. Big win by the Padres yesterday, though, Joe. Did you see that one? Even up that series. Manny Machado with a big blast off Shota Imanaga. Hey, Al Michaels.
I hate the Cubs.
Hey, Al Michaels. Who's going to be on the call tonight for Amazon Prime, joining Willard and Dibbs yesterday. Historically, you know, this is why I love Al Michaels, because he will go down memory lane. I know you love this, though, the history of the game, Joe. Historically, the 49ers have always taken over L.A. stadiums. I wonder why.
When L.A. lost both of its teams, the Raiders and the Rams in 94, it was two decades before they got the Rams back and the Chargers came back. I think what happened, you had this whole generation that skipped the NFL in town. So they decided, okay, we got to root for somebody. Some of them became Packer fans, Pittsburgh fans, but I think because of geography, some of them just naturally became 49er fans, or maybe they became Raider fans, but the Raiders came and they left and they went to Las Vegas. So I think what you have is a whole, I'm talking about now Rams fans who, you know, would have been Rams fans but skipped the generation. So in other words, you have the 49ers fans who travel from the Bay Area or wherever coming down, and then they're supplemented by what would have been Rams fans had that team remained here all of these years. So it's kind of a crazy thing, and, you know, the PA announcer here likes to scream, our house, whose house, our house. It's really not their house. In fact, when the Raiders came in, we did a Thursday night game a couple of years ago, and the guy is, you know, screaming his guts out, whose house? And I'm going, whose house? It's the Raiders' house. Yep. The Rams are just renting it.
Oh, my God. And that's the reason why the Raiders aren't in L.A., is because of that very thing. Stan Kroenke, who built the stadium, the owner of the Los Angeles Rams, was like, no. We're not going to be second fiddle if I'm footing the bill for this entire thing. So they brought in a team with only another insignificant fan base in comparison, the San Diego Chargers, who came up. They should have just stayed in San Diego, by the way. I don't know why they moved. I know why, because they got a free hand out of a stadium, Dean Spanos being the cheap owner that he is over there. But you just see how it works with the Padres. The Rams are never going to get to the fan base that they desire down there. Are they? They won a Super Bowl, so you'd think it would start attracting more.
Yeah, but it takes time.
How long?
I don't know. We'll know in the next 5 to 10 years, right? But he is right. But the part that he's missing is, like, it used to be all the local broadcasts that you would get on either 2 or 5, where whatever game was closest geographically.
Yeah.
You know, Al's been doing games for so long, he doesn't really know what it's like to be the consumer on the couch. I'm not faulting him, I'm just saying. So that is the LA game that they got, was Patriots on Channel 5. That's why Nash is a Patriot fan. And you have the Niners.
Former producer here, by the way,
sorry,
Nash Solomon.
LA yeah. guy. And then you'd have the Niners on Fox. That game was always broadcast. There's nothing that, like, I want to just hock a loogie on. I was going to go spit on.
Yeah, but loogie's better than spit, I guess. What? It's worse.
When I see a Niner fan with a Dodger hat, it just, oh, God. It's disgusting. You know, no, it's disgusting.
Each of their own.
People, no, you know. No. It's disgusting.
Why?
It's a little I'd rather weird. You not be a Niner fan.
It's kind of weird.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I don't You know what? If there are Niner Dodger fans, call in. 888-957-9570. How did you get to be that? Did you grow up in L.A. and just root for the Niners? So you're telling me, if I'm sitting next to you and I'm wearing a Dodgers hat and a George Kittle jersey rooting for the Niners at Levi Stadium, you're going to be mad at me?
Yeah, you're probably a front runner.
Or I just grew up. What if my dad was a Niner fan?
That's shocking.
Why? What if he grew up in the Bay Area and moved down to L.A.?
Then he shouldn't be a Dodger fan.
Well, but what if he didn't care about baseball at that time?
I'm just telling you the algorithm. If you are wearing a Dodger hat and you're a Niner fan, I'm sorry.
See, this is the problem with society.
I sound insane?
Yeah,
do you give any leeway to people who are our age who didn't have an NFL team than in LA?
I'm a little more sensitive, but I will give you way more grief for the Dodger hat. I'm like, oh, that's cool, yeah, but the Dodgers suck, bro.
Well, they don't. They're probably going to go back-to-back. They look really good as they oust these Cincinnati Reds. 888-957-9570 is the number. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Niners-Rams tonight. Thursday Night Football. No Purdy. No Pearsall. No Jennings. No Kittle. No Bosa. I don't care. Get a win tonight, Mac Jones. Get a win tonight, Christian McCaffrey. Hey, Kyle Shanahan, you want me to label you boy genius still? Win this game tonight. Hey, Robert Saleh, you want us to not talk about all that crap that went on last week? win tonight.
Look, I get it why you would be a Niners slash Lakers slash Dodger fan. Like, I get it. It doesn't mean I have to like it.
Oh, well, Ben in San Jose is a Niner Laker fan, and he wants to join the conversation. What's
up? Niner Laker fan.
What's
okay,
up, Ben?
How old are you?
How old am I? Let's see. I'm in my mid-50s. How's that?
How's that? That's
where did you grow up?
It's older than Joe.
In the words of Raditz, where did you grow up, punk?
I grew up in Los Angeles, and so, you know, the Rams left. When they went to Anaheim, and I, look, bless people's hearts. They have forgiveness. They form families with that forgiveness. I don't have that capacity. They moved to Anaheim. I said, see you later. Raiders left. See you later. The 94 baseball strike, see you later, MLB. But the Lakers stayed true. And it was great because as an L.A. football fan, you have a fantasy football team. You don't care about allegiance at all. You're just rooting for your guys. You don't have that problem.
So how'd you become a Niner fan?
A few years ago, it was my fantasy draft, and Debo drafted him. Kittle came up, drafted him. Niners defense drafted. Even Robbie Gould. I got Robbie Gould, and I won the league. And every weekend, I was just watching
the
Niners.
Dog. So you jumped on the bandwagon when we were good. So you weren't here when Chip Kelly was here. You weren't here when Dennis Erickson was here. So you're only riding high during the good years, huh? Huh? Is that what you're doing?
I don't judge, Ben.
Is that what you're doing?
Was last year a good year?
Oh, that's true. He got you there, Joe.
Hey, one bad year does what? Not test an allegiance.
Tested him.
Well, I'll tell you what. After the Lakers had their worst loss ever, I put on my colors and I went out. I didn't wait till after they won a championship. And that's what you got with me now. If anything bad happens to the Niners this year, putting on my colors, I'm going out there.
All right.
Really concerned about it. I've got my San Francisco pullover on, bright red.
Oh, Ben, you're going to the game tonight, you said?
Love you guys.
You're going to the game tonight, Ben?
Thanks for calling in and thanks for playing along. I'm teasing, obviously. But
he's gone.
I hate the Dodgers and I hate the Lakers. And I hate you fans that are mixing up allegiances.
But you don't hate Ben.
I don't hate Ben. Ben's a good guy. Ben's a good guy. I'm just teasing. But it's true.
I'm happy with Ben.
I'm happy with Ben.
We got Vic Tafer coming up about 10 minutes. Covers the Niners for the Athletic. We'll get the lay of the land on the
Lakers
game
tonight. And the Dodgers.
Which one is more aggravating of the two?
Yes.
Just yes? Yeah? You like LeBron, though.
No, the only way
you love J.J. Redick, more importantly.
That you just nailed it. The only way you could be worse than a Laker-Dodgers fan is if you're a LeBron Laker-Dodger fan.
That's definitely something. Before we hit the break, Chris in Fresno, it says another Niner Laker fan. What's up, Chrissy?
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning.
Are you doing, Laker fan?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Looking pretty good with Luka. He looks like he's in shape. But Central Valley, growing up, I had my grandma's turn knob TV with a wire hanger. The only teams you got were Lakers, Raiders, A's, Niners, and Giants.
Okay.
So I only had one basketball team growing up to watch on my little turn knob TV.
Well, you get my point of view, though, right? Lakers suck.
I do. Do being more home in the Bay Area, but here in the Central Valley, we really didn't have a choice.
Yeah, and you know look, what? I understand
Chris
it, but
Fresno.
I don't like it.
Chris in Fresno gets it. Central Valley guys, they got it. You know what? The Bakersfields of the world, I can't name anywhere else there. But the Central Valley
Doc, I want you to understand something. Being from this part of the country, I understand. Not everyone has that benefit. It is a badge of honor that I wear proudly across my chest, that I am bestowed from my dad, who got it bestowed from his grandfather, who I am now bestowing onto my son. It is the religion of Giants, Niners, and Warriors. I bleed it.
You bleed red and gold?
I love the team so much, I'm mad at the Warriors for having royal blue because I hate the Dodgers that much, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
I love Vic Tafer. And he's coming up next to talk Niners, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's because of the deviated
septum. Lots of people snort when they laugh.
It's true. I do,
hey,
too.
Hey, Sam.
Hey.
Hey, Joe.
I didn't ask for your input.
He's the producer. Well, he gets to do what he wants.
Yeah, in my ear, not on air.
Do we got our guy? We do. We got him.
You asking for my input on that?
We'll ask Vic Taper about deviated septums, I guess, as he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? 49ers insider for The Athletic. Vic knows all things NFL. He's also good as the Vic's picks as well, so he knows about the spreads. I think it's an 8.5. Hey, Vic, is it 8.5 tonight in favor of the Rams?
Yeah, I'm going up. I'm sure it'll be higher by kickoff. Yeah, people definitely see some blood in the water, I think.
Is it feeling like it's going to be a blow? Like, would you be shocked? Let's just start there. If the 49ers can keep this thing close in the fourth quarter, would that be a win tonight?
Yeah, I think we're kind of beyond the moral victory stage. But, yeah, I think you look at the roster, how many guys are out, and obviously offensively the receivers are putting out there. If it is close, that would be an accomplishment. I think definitely it would be a good sign going forward.
So I'm looking at a quote from the New York Times, The Athletic, if you will, that is yours. Purdy isn't healthy enough to be the team's emergency backup in L.A., which underscores that his sprained big toe was worse than it seemed coming out of Sunday's loss. And the 49ers are leery of it becoming a recurring issue this season. So let's start at the top. Is the toe today worse than it was, let's say, a couple weeks ago?
Well, we asked Brock that when we talked to him the other day. He said it was better than it was after the first game, after he left the first game when he was hurt. He said it's better now than it was then, which I believe him. So I just think it's a matter of, obviously, after the game Sunday, both he and Kyle said the toe wasn't a problem. It was okay. He was a little rusty, whatever, and made some bad throws. But apparently that night, I guess he felt pretty bad. So I think it's clear that there's no way he's going to play in a short week. So you kind of give him the extra time. And hopefully by a week from Sunday, he's feeling better. But we'll see. I mean, it could be a thing where you give him another week off to play safe.
You're there every day. Leading up to the Sunday game, did you see him looking like his old normal self?
I mean, that's hard to say because obviously we watch practice for like 15 minutes. There's a window we get to watch him, and then we go back inside. We can't watch all the cool plays and gadgets. But he seemed like he was definitely making progress. I think what fans are forgetting is the reaction now is, why did you play him? You shouldn't have played. But in that situation at practice last week, he was actually healthier than Mac Jones. Mac Jones had the knee issue where he was, last game he played in, he was taking the knee brace on and off, couldn't get it right. He was feeling kind of bad. And so he actually practiced less than Brock did that week. So I think in terms of who was healthier, against the Jaguars, Brock Purdy was the healthier option. You're not gonna play Adrian Martinez.
Why not? But why not? Like, I want to stop you there, and I'm not trying to pick on you, but like, Lamar Jackson's status is not dependent on how healthy Cooper Rush is. If they have to go to the third stringer like that, they're going to do that because they know if Lamar's done, they're done. So why are we making such a big deal about Adrian Martinez not starting? I find that kind of absurd. That shouldn't dictate my investment in my franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't word it the best way. I mean, but let me say this. In the NFL, everyone's hurt. Like, this point, every player has got some kind of degree of injury or some kind of, he's banged up a little bit. So it's all percentages. Like, how healthy are you? How much pain tolerance is there? What can you do? And so, sure, they felt like Brock at, whatever it was, say, well, let's put a number, say 80%. So Brock at 80% gives you a chance to win. So, veteran team, trying to make the playoffs, they have all these older guys making one last run. There's a window, probably a two-year window here. So I think you look at it like, we have a chance to win this game. Brock is feeling better. He's a tough guy. We'll go with Brock. I don't think you really, at that point, say, well, he's 80%. Mac Jones is like 55%. Let's go with Adrian Martinez. Really a guy who just learning the playbook has not really been established as a guy who can give you a chance to win. So I think in that case, you trust your quarterback. You know what? Brock's feeling better. He can do enough to win this game.
That being said, they took a risk, calculated as it was. Was it worth it? Now that Brock, it seems like they're leery that this is going to linger.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's football. You take chances. I think, obviously, they were hoping. I mean, I guess it was a play. Where you scrambled a little bit and you got a little hurt, or got tackled funny. But clearly, there's things that happen you can't control. So I think, ideally, in their minds, he gets through this game. One of those passes that he was a little off is on target, or Kendrick Bourne makes that one catch across the middle. They win that game, and you kind of go from there. So I just think they're looking at the big picture, and also, they're not going to put Brock at risk. They've clearly thought he was fine enough to play, and he was definitely healthier than Mac Jones at that point.
Talking to Vic Tafer here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of River Islands, and he's the 49ers insider for The Athletic. And Vic, speaking of the quarterback, we got Mac Jones tonight. He would have been a full participant on Monday in the hypothetical injury report. How are we feeling, or how are the 49ers feeling about his mobility? And you mentioned that knee brace today. Is he feeling a lot better? Has there been a lot more improvement there? Just trying to gauge how Mac Jones is going to be able to handle the pressure that the Rams, I'm sure, are going to be bringing tonight.
Yeah, it's a good question. We'll see. I think he's been working with the trainers the last few weeks on different knee braces. I think he's going to wear one tonight. He says he feels fine. I think he clearly has won the players' confidence with his two wins. I think they feel like, you know, he can get a job done. So it's just a matter of, like you mentioned, we talked about the injuries. So the receivers he's playing with are probably not the kind of guys you need to go on the road and get a win, but you never know. That's the NFL. So clearly they have confidence. Clearly they have a bunch of guys who are still, you know, veteran leadership, you know, winning at all costs kind of guy. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Who do you anticipate being their top dog receivers tonight with Pearsall and Jennings out?
I think it's going to be this guy. His connection with Kendrick Bourne from the Patriots days are pretty tight. I think they had some chemistry when they played earlier in the year. So I think Bourne had a rough game last week. He wants to bounce back. So I think Bourne will be the guy. I think DeMarcus Robinson had a nice catch in his first game back. He's knocked some rust off. So he was a guy that was really sharp in training camp, and both quarterbacks really liked throwing him the ball and going against his old team. So those two guys, in my mind, will be the top guys as far as if you're a fancy guy and you're in a desperate mode, you can pick up one of those guys and hope for the best.
Yeah, I'm very much in desperation mode. I got beat. We'll get to the Niners in a second, but my fantasy football team, Vic, much more important. I got Bijan Robinson and his backup,
Tyler Allgeier. Nobody cares.
Hold on, his backup. So if I am, if I am going to do fantasy football tonight, maybe is it desperate like time to go to like Kyle Juszczyk? Do I do that? Like, can he get me a touchdown tonight? Will they be utilizing two running backs tonight on the field? Because I feel like all the conversation, Vic, this offseason was about the touches about Christian McCaffrey. Has that just gone out the window and we don't even talk about it anymore because of all the other injuries that have happened with this team? The fact that he is leading the team in all these touches and he's on pace for, 300 plus? I'm not a mathematician, but I'm sure a lot of them. Like, has that been kind of crazy and not talked about enough?
Well, it's funny because in training camp, you know, everyone was worried about McCaffrey coming back. And one of the biggest questions or most often asked questions of Kyle was, hey, is there going to be a snap count? Are you going to like limit what he does? Are you going to like work Robinson in? Are you going to, you know? And the answer always was no. I mean, Christian wants to play. We want him to play. He's healthy. He's our best guy. So you see right now, the example, and the proof's in the pudding, has been 1,000 touches. You're going to break all kinds of records at this pace. And I think if the running game had been a little better as far as the line blocking better, I think he has some huge, huge numbers. But he still has great numbers because of the catches. But, yeah, for them, at this point, his touches are the least of their concerns.
So will we see, like, any two running back, like, situations? I think that's where Niner fans are at right now because the running game has just been so bad. And the offensive line, again, PFF, they can have their grades, and it's a combination of everything. I'm just trying to figure out, Vic, why has the running game just been so awful? Is it just because they're missing their stud tight end and Hall of Fame blocker and George Kittle? We're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I think Kittle's definitely a big factor. I think you mentioned the PFF numbers, people throw us out there, the lines, gives us good ratings, whatever. But in my eyeballs, what I see is they're definitely, whenever Christian gets the ball, there's nowhere to go. There's three guys in his lap right away. So I just think, from what I see, I think the tackles have been okay. But for me, it's the interior of the line has been a problem this far. I think Connor Colby, I thought, came in and played well the first game. But I think he's got hurt. And I think you clearly see he's not the same guy he was the first game. So he's trying to tough it out. But there are two guys Antonio, I think to me, I heard about last year. It was my first year in the B, so I come in. I heard they had a great year last year. He's kind of me the guy, but I haven't been impressed that far. So I think he's also working through some things. He also was hurt in camp. So again, even the guys who are not on the injured list, I still heard this team is so banged up. Even the guys who are playing, it's definitely hurt them as far as their productivity.
Yeah. I haven't been as impressed with Pooney as well. Let me ask you this one. Any chance they activate Nick Martin and try to get another athlete out on the field defensively, just to, you know, maybe use one of these linebackers as a rusher or just to get more speed and out on the field? I don't know. I'm thinking outside the box how they can generate pressure.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think at this point, I'd probably say no. I think they've been really like what D-Winners have done as far as getting them out there, and the base is tough. And they've got a lot of nickel, and they've got, like, a big safeties out there. And so I just have big cornerbacks out there I'm passing down. So I think right now the plan is just to kind of go with what you have. I think they're looking at last week maybe, hopefully, as an aberration, whereas the lack of pass rush was because, you know, Jags ran the ball so well, so they're always in second and short. And I think they got rid of the ball quickly, so they're hoping the guys like Bryce Huff and the rookies can step up this week and do more than they did the last week.
What did you make, Vic? You're around these guys and you're at all these press conferences. What did you make of the Robert Saleh Liam Cohen exchange? It obviously dominated the national storylines. You see it on First Take, Get Up. I want to go back, though. The reason why did he bring it up in the first place, the sign stealing and saying it was legal, and then them going after each other after the game? The whole thing was just very strange to me.
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous myself. I mean, I thought it was a little, obviously, Liam took it the wrong way, and I guess that's fine, but I don't know what Robert was trying to do. I don't know why he brought it up. He wasn't asked about it, so I guess he clearly had something where he wanted to get across, and like he said it the wrong way, and in today's day and age with everyone, you know, recording press conferences and looking for things to put out there and all the, you know, cookie stuff, I think it kind of caught fire because I think it was a slow news day, so it's just a thing where, that's the way it works with the media today, so I just think it was to me, kind of a ridiculous thing. It's kind of got blown out of the water, and clearly Liam Cohen, I mean, if they lost the game, I guarantee you Liam Cohen's not going to say anything. So they won the game, and good for him, but I thought it was kind of a weird, the whole deal was just, I was happy it's over, and of course it got brought up again on Monday and still had a little life left, but now I think we can put it behind us, and to me, who really cares? Everyone steals signs in the NFL. That's, if you're not doing that, you're not doing your job, so I didn't really get the whole brouhaha.
Well, it's funny because he mentioned Sean McVay a part of that too, and I wonder if Sean McVay, I know they're much closer and probably tighter than that, just Sean McVay going at him, he's like, you like that sign? The whole thing was just crazy to me too. All right, so I'll leave you here on this, Vic. The 49ers will win tonight if ...
If the defense gets 3 turnovers.
Okay. That's going to be tough, but you know what? Bryce Huff, come on down. Fred Warner, maybe rush the quarterback. I don't know. So these teams always seem to play close, Vic. And Matt Stafford, for whatever reason, he'll throw a couple of them out there. It's just the Niners, can they capitalize on them, if you will? But Vic, good stuff this morning. We appreciate your time. Good luck. Are you traveling down? Are you already down there at SoFi or what?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm in my hotel room right now, so I'm getting ready for a lovely L.A. day.
Let's go. Lovely L.A. day, and hopefully you travel safe backly to the Bay, and we appreciate it.
All right, boys. Take care.
There he goes. Vic Tafer, 49ers insider for The Athletic, getting the lay of the land down there. 3 turnovers, huh, for the defense? Okay.
I just...
How does it look then? Is it fumbles, interceptions? What do we do? Just anything. Okay. What?
No one says we like, oh, I want to see Adrian Martinez. No, like, but this whole, like, he was slightly healthier than Mac Jones, and so you had to play him because of the two options, he was healthier and da-da-da. We've twisted ourselves into a pretzel to defend a decision that in real time we were questioning, and then in hindsight, the results have told you it was a wrong decision.
I just don't think we're taking the turf toe as a serious injury. I'm just going to be honest.
Who, you and me?
No, people in general. I would agree. I just don't think they view it as a serious injury, and that's why we just kind of poo-poo it. Had this been a calf issue? Had this been...
What about a shoulder?
A shoulder? A hamstring. A slight hamstring strain.
Like Lamar.
We would view it totally different. Totally. But the fact that it's a turf toe... Not even turf toe, hold on. Turf toe variant It's so out of left field. They're like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
This just everything plays out exactly the same. But it's Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, okay? And he misses a couple weeks. The backup is, what's his name?
Cooper Rush.
And he's not feeling good, whatever. And we know, like, hey, it's a 2 to 5, they just say hypothetically, 2 to 5 week injury. It's the hamstring. Lamar's kind of good enough to go. And then we kind of see early on, like, eh, don't look great. He has a bad game. And then the next day they come out and they're like, yeah, he's going to be out again this week because they're on a short rest. And it's because the backup wasn't 100% healthy. So we kind of force him because we were afraid of the third stringer, blah, blah, blah. And like, it's never optimal to play the third stringer. Like, that's, I get it. It's the worst case scenario.
Right.
No, actually, the worst case scenario is losing your franchise quarterback for extra weeks on top of, you know, whatever game that you had him play in. Like,
you bring.
I just think we're trying to justify something that didn't make sense in real time and now sucks. And I'm not even blaming anyone. I'm just saying, like, guys, the results are in. They made the bad decision. So it's okay.
As Ross Tucker put it yesterday on Steiny and Goo, it was a bad look.
You know, Mac Jones was playing well. They were winning those games. Purdy's your big money guy. You know, there are medical competitive advantages and disadvantages in the NFL. And, you know, if they put Purdy back and he aggravated it, now he has to miss a gigantic game against the Rams. That is not good. You know, you need to trust your medical people when they say he can go out there and be fine and not make it worse, not re-aggravate it. He's good to go. Clearly, that wasn't the case. So, you know, I don't know if you blame the player, the organization, the trainers, the doctor, all the above. But clearly, you know, he wasn't 100% and didn't play like a guy that was 100%. And now I don't think he'll play tomorrow night. You put all that stuff together, I think that's a bad look for the 49ers.
That is exactly how I feel. Again, remove blame. Remove pointing fingers. It's just all the way around. It's bad luck, and they did the wrong thing. I mean, the results are in.
It's okay to say it was a bad look. Now, it's over. We're going to, you know, we got to play tonight. You win the game. And if they win and Mac Jones stays relatively healthy, I think you have more questions about how long should you keep him out. And I think that's a better problem have they win tonight, because then you're back to over three games, over 500.
No, if you win tonight, yeah, it buys you more time for Purdy, which has been the element that a lot of reasonable people just, we need more time for Purdy. Like, I know he thinks he's good enough to go. He needs all the time in the world. If you have to sit him the whole month of October, so be it.
This is what Lo Neal had to say. Lorenzo Neal, former fullback, should be a Hall of Famer. Obviously, our guy, host here, 95.7 The Game, on with Evan Giddings every single Niners home game for the pregame show at Sunnyvale, Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale, I should say. Lo Neal, when the injury was first recorded, when it was first known to us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is what he had to say after week one in Seattle about Brock Purdy's toe injury.
I think this week for sure he's out. I would not even think about it this week. Brock might get out there and say, hey guys, I'm going to try to get it. I'm going to try to go on this if he needed to. And I think he will get to that point that he's going to, if they needed him, I think if they needed him in 2 weeks from now, I think he could go. But that's me predicated on what the belief that I have in myself and what I've seen from Brock. I think he's a tough guy. He's not a guy that wants to sit out, who's a guy that's like, ah, it's a little pain. Brock has to be in pain for him to sit out. This guy knows what he means to this organization. This guy loves football. I can never question his heart because this is a tough game, guys. And to play with turf toe, I played with the guy, Eric Martin, and he had turf toe. And I watched the doctor in the, you know, before the game get that needle, 3-inch needle, shoot that into the joint. So they go in there, shoot it into the ligament, but then go in between that big toe and that joint right there where it hooks in and shoot it inside there. They put different things to try to relieve some of the pain. And afterwards, you just see the toe, the black and blue, and how they're walking around the next couple of days. After they get done, guys, I'm telling you, if he plays, he's not practicing the rest of the week. So when he does play, the rest he's going to you're going to be at limited practice, I'm telling you, during it for the rest of the season if he plays, because that's how hard and that's how tough it is to recover from turf toe. If he plays, and when he plays, the following week, he does not practice. He practiced maybe on Friday, a little bit on Saturday, walkthrough. But if that toe's that bad, I'm telling you, that's the kind of injury it could be.
I mean, okay, so let's go back to the day we found out, the 2 to 5 week thing.
Again, and that was the week right after he had gotten hurt. That was when we had Lorenzo Neal on.
Forget everything about Mac. Purdy's more important than Mac to this organization for a lot, for 250 million reasons.
Thank you.
But he's way more important, right? So just go back to when you found out 2 to 5 weeks. And if I said to you, he sat out a couple weeks, you went 2-0, you had these two-game stretch, Jags-Rams, he came back against the Jags only to get hurt again and miss the Rams game. Like, if I said all of what that was back then, you'd say, ooh, you should have just held him out the whole time.
Correct.
I don't think that's hindsight. I think that's in real time assessing risk and reward and looking at the calendar, which is what we did.
It's just calling it like you see it. It's just a bad look. Like, why would we do that? It just, there was no reason to do that. And I don't want to hear that Mac Jones was more hurt than Brock Purdy, but he's a backup quarterback. So you know what? I'm going with my backup that case. And if you really feel that badly about it, then put in Adrian Martinez. And again, they're saying that, and I love Vic. He knows what he's talking about. He's 49 cents over the Athletic. We can just disagree on this. The notion that this was, you know, you're fighting for the playoffs this early in the season. And I get it. You're trying to stack wins. That's the old, you're trying to stack wins at this point. Stack, stack, stack. Well, you stacked enough wins to buy you some time for Brock. You stacked enough wins to say, you know what? If we take a loss against the Jaguars, that's not bad.
If you were one and two at that time, I think it does change it a little. But yes, absolutely.
But you weren't.
I know.
You were 3-0.
I know.
So that's why you had breathing room heading into that game.
Well, and then that brings me also to this thing about roster spots and money. You know, if you elevate Adrian Martinez, it costs you. This, come on, guys.
Well, that's the stupidest thing
I've ever heard. Player 44, 45, and 46 on the Niners.
I mean, are the 49ers really worried that much about breadcrumbs?
They gave this guy, Luke Farrell, $20 million. $20 million. And the guy fumbles in the game that Brock, the game that Brock played in that they ended up losing. You gave that guy $20 million, and he had one of the biggest, most big blunders of the game. Okay, I don't care about $1 million for Adrian
Martinez.
Maybe
the Niners do, because remember, the contract negotiations happened back in free agency, as the Niners are going to see a guy in Devontae Adams, who basically called the Niners cheap in the offseason. Remember that?
Ooh.
This is a quote from Devontae, because
they just sold 3% of their organization for another $280 million, and we're worried about the roster spot of Adrian Martinez. Like, miss me with that.
Well, dude, that's going to soccer.
Devontae Adams.
I find that out.
Huh. This was Devontae a couple months ago, Jet who the Niners Rob. Are going to see tonight.
I find that out. Al Guida. We're going to have a segment. If I find out they're taking money from the Niners and spending it on the soccer team that I could care less about, my head will explode.
You okay over there?
Explode. As my face is exploding from the sun because of the roof you didn't put on the damn stadium.
Can I say the quote?
Sorry.
It's okay. Devontae Adams told Michael Silver of The Athletic, I was entertaining the Niners, but they were like, we're paying wholesale. We ain't paying retail. I didn't talk to them, but that's what my agent told me. Like five times that quote. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not a wholesale type of dude. So that's not a good look. And then
Devontae the money.
But hold on. But a day after that, you do sign Luke Farrell to a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
So that's. And Devontae Adams right now,
Because he can block.
Devontae signed.
They also spent money to say goodbye to Juice, only to spend more money to bring him back.
I'd feel better about Davante Adams on my team right now.
Well, of
just
course.
Given everything.
Of course.
It would have been nice to have him as we're throwing to Kendrick Bourne tonight. I love you, Bourne. The Bourne identity, I'm calling him. He's going to have a Jason Bourne type of performance. Matt Damon-esque. And I'm not talking Matt Damon from Team America, where he was like, Matt Damon. No, I'm talking Bourne identity Matt Damon tonight. Kendrick Bourne. Let's go.
This is America!
It's the same voice that was used, by the way. That's good. I know Trey Parker, legend. Who's winning tonight, Joey? And why?
Niners are winning. Mac Jones is winning.
Oh, my God. You don't believe that.
I do
that.
Believe that. With a field goal by your boy, Eddie Pinheiro.
Eddie
and
Money?
Then he's going to do, like, the double discount check, you know, to the sideline.
Discount double check.
I want to see him go and chest bump Shanahan after hitting the game-winning field goal and just shove it right down McVay's, like, throat. That would be amazing. You know, remember when McVay ran into the end zone and chest bumped Cooper Kupp when they had that touchdown against the Niners?
I love that. Sirianni does it too.
I mean, I'm ready for Guru to run out onto the field and chest bump Eddie DeNiro.
What if Kyle Shanahan did that? You think he would ever do that? Ever? He'd run to the end zone and
possibly.
Stop it.
I think possibly. We have a musical bit coming up though, where Spadoni did some snorting, and so did Bonte. Mm. Do you have that?
Double up.
It wasn't clean.
Mm. Hold on. You want me to get me one right now?
Yeah, get one right now.
All right, everyone, be quiet.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
is that good? We good? Is we better?
That
now?
Was great.
All right, there we feel better.
Now I need Bonte and Spadoni eating each other
because that's stopped. That did
back
not,
and forth.
I did not like how that was phrased.
That'll also
at
be
all.
A drop. What's going on?
Move back to the blue tent. Here comes Spadoni and Bonte.
It's unacceptable.
Wait, where's Nick in San? Oh wait, that's right. He's not a Niners guy. He'll call back during Warriors. That's right. Nick in San Jose. He showed up to do the Doobie Awards last year, right? That's coming up in a couple months here. Who's the leader in the clubhouse for the Doobie Awards? Jan of Mountain View? It's got to be. Can we get Jan from Mountain View to the Doobie Awards, wherever that's going to be? Oh, heck yeah, baby.
Oh, heck yeah.
Should be locked in tonight. Amazon Prime, Kirk Herbstreit, Al Michaels. I see Kirk on the TV right now.
Well.
We'll be talking about it. Mac Jones. And the over-under and the amount of times that Kirk Herbstreit referenced Mac Jones as a college quarterback at Alabama.
Tonight?
Yeah, he'll do it like three or four times.
Well, I mean, does Al have money on both sides of the game?
Oh, my God. Do you believe in miracles? Well,
over-under Al falling asleep just a little in the fourth
what
quarter.
What if he... Hey, if the 49ers win this game and he pulls out, do you believe in miracles? Or do you believe in Mac Jones? Yes! I would love that. Oh my God, it'd be amazing. This is what Al Michaels had to say yesterday on our airwaves about what Sam Darnold told him in regards to Brock Purdy.
Okay.
Last week we had Sam Darnold, in that game with Seattle at Arizona, and we're talking to Sam, and I said to him, who would you say are the most influential people, coaches or others, in your career? The first guy he mentioned, you know, you're thinking he's going to mention some, you know, 60-year-old coach,
right,
or maybe a high school or whatever it was going to be. The first guy he mentioned, Brock Purdy. We said, what? He said, I learned from Brock Purdy how you prepare. So the 1 year that Sam spent as the understudy to Purdy in San Francisco, he credits Purdy with making him so much better. And of course, you know, Sam's on that trajectory right now, like very much like a Baker Mayfield, maybe like a Daniel Jones, where, you know, it takes a while to get to where you want to go. But he gave so much of the credit to Brock Purdy, which I found to be fascinating.
Mm. Oh, my God. You guys are mean, man. Come on.
I.
So Sam Darnold credits Brock Purdy.
Oh, Carter.
Wow.
Now, you got to mix in some guru stuff in there, too.
Oh, well, that's...
I mean, that's how you do
no!
it.
No!
Oh, we need a greatest hits. Who is that? Is that Grandy?
Mac Jones. That does sound like Grandy.
Give it to me.
That's pretty good. Mark Grandy. They call
Mac
him
Grandy.
They call him Narc Grandy.
Wait. Give me.
This is making me very uncomfortable. I don't know what's going on here. What is happening? We got Rams Niners tonight.
Every good
Amazon
Mac Jones
Prime.
Throw tonight, Spadoni's going to be sitting there taking notes, and he's going to be like,
I mean,
you are, dude. Admit, just I want you to admit it. True serum.
What?
You're here for the Mac Jones quarterback controversy. Just admit
I'm
you
not
are.
Calling it a controversy.
A small part of you.
No, I'm not calling.
Can we just appreciate?
No, you want it. I'm just saying, do you want it?
I want Mac. I'll tell you what I want.
Okay.
I want Mac Jones to succeed at a high level in the NFL because I believe in him as a quarterback.
Fair enough.
That is what I want to see happen. And he has succeeded.
Devoid of the Niner situation.
Devoid of the Niner situation. I think he has been unfairly maligned in his career.
Have I not switched my stance up on him?
Yes,
I've given him credit.
I think he...
I truly admit I did not believe in him at all.
He had a really good rookie season and got dealt a poop sandwich after that when it came to coaching.
Mm.
Can we all agree on that? Hey, Carter, can you agree on... I'm going to throw to something here and let me know if you're ready. Can we all agree that it's time for Fast Five, too? Can we do that? Jesus Christ, dude.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I wasn't early. I always arrive on time. I'm the host of this show in the A-chair, so I am never early. It's like what Gandalf said.
Never on time, always late. On the Bay Bridge of the Golden Gate.
I am the wizard.
You want to live on the best coast, you better try to move to the west coast.
Because you look like Harry Potter doesn't mean you
That's actually called Mac Dre.
By the way, preseason's right around the corner, Dub Nation. 95% of the game is tipping things off in style. Join us at Pier 39 this Saturday, October 4th, for a Warriors preseason special you won't want to miss. Live appearances from Warriors' favorites. Bestest Azili, Zaza Pachulia, Kalena Azubuki, Tim Roy, and our very own Bonte Hill. Plus, your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host Luka Doncic and the Lake Show. And if that's not enough, Evan Giddings and Guru going to be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. It's hoops. It's hype.
So
the season's almost here.
I just like the explosion of when it goes in my mouth.
Oh, good.
So what is that? That's the caffeine.
All right.
That's what you're going to be hearing.
I'm going to get serious for one minute. I don't know what you believe in terms of higher power. I don't know.
I was raised Catholic, Joe. Right. My last name is
Catholic. And I'm not trying to like tell someone what to believe in.
I'm a confirmed Catholic.
Whatever makes you a better person, have at it, right?
I went to confirmation.
I believe whatever is going on up in heaven, all right, there is a big couch that everyone's sitting on, all right? And my dad's there right now getting ready for this Niner game. And somewhere there's Jerry Garcia and Willie Mays is in this room. And so is my dad's good friend, Tom Farnham. And I think it's almost poetic that today Tom's funeral is going to be. And I hope him and my dad are up in heaven somewhere on the couch watching the Niners tonight, whether they win or lose or not. I miss you, Dad. And I miss our arguments and our yelling and everything. And I'm getting all teary-eyed thinking about it because... We got to say goodbye to Tom, one of your good friends, a great, great man to me and my family. And Tom Farnham and the whole Araka family, we love you. I'll see you soon. And, you know, sports, we laugh, we cry, we lose all that stuff. But at the end of the day, what I love about sports is the family, the generational part, to be able to share it with my grandpa still, with my son, with my wife, with all my cousins, my nephews and everything. And I hope you guys are sharing the couch tonight up in heaven, watching the Niners. And let's beat LA! Let's go!
There you go.
Let's go, Niners. Let's go, Mac Jones.
You all in on Mac tonight? Return to Mac? Come on.
Let's go.
Let's go. What you got, Carter back there? Or Sam? One of you?
Yeah, let's go, Mac Jones. I'm thinking a 13-10 game tonight. I don't know who wins, but I think that's going to be the final score.
We win. 10? We win, baby. We win.
Well, the losers are the audience at that point.
Beautiful 13-10 Thursday night game you can ever imagine. No, my final thought is I want to give a shout-out to Sarah over at Sarah and Vinny. She makes backpacks, apparently.
What station?
With Alice, 97.3, our sister station, right down the hall, Sarah and Vinny. They've been doing it forever, and Sarah apparently makes backpacks, and she made me probably the coolest backpack I will ever own in my life. It's got the Niners, Giants, Warriors, and Sharks patch on it.
Oh, wow.
It's got the Giants print on the inside of it. It's got a little like slot in the backpack for my laptop and everything. It is a high quality backpack. Wow. So big thanks to her for putting that together. You know, she probably make more money making backpacks than in radio.
I don't know. We'll see. But it was a nice bag, and I'm kind of jealous actually about it. I didn't know you were such a big Niner fan too, Sam. Yeah, there on there. No Miami Hurricane though. Maybe next time. That's the
No. Inside the bag is cocaine for the Miami
Jesus. Hurricane. I mean, you guys.
Crack. Come on, dog. I'm always there.
Oh, there it is.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
Look at that. That's so cute.
Don't show the brick inside.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Look at that. Wow. high-quality stuff. We're just showcasing Sarah and Vinny. There you go, on the Morning Roast. We actually pitched an idea for them to like do a little crossover where I talk pop culture on their show, and then Vinny comes over here and talks sports. I don't think Michael Martin, their PD, liked that.
Well, I mean, you are a pop culture phenomenon because my boy Matt Murphy was like, yo, the weekend manager at Michael's job totally goes with Spadoni's love for that Coldplay concert he went to a couple weeks ago.
Hey, Coldplay's sick, dude.
Dude, shut up.
Coldplay's dope.
Coldplay.
Did you get up on the Jumbotron?
Yeah. Don't talk about that, Sam. Don't talk about that. But no, Coldplay puts on a great performance, Carter. Do they not?
Yeah, they do, Spadoni, and I think it'll be a better performance than what we're going to see tonight. I'm going to call that Mac Jones is going to be under insane pressure in the pocket tonight. I'm calling over 4 sacks at least. And listen, I hope I'm wrong, but I think tonight is going to be ugly. And
you
are
wrong.
I'm praying I'm wrong.
We're winning.
I hope
we're
you guys winning. Throw it in my face on Monday when
we
I see you.
We are winning tonight. You freaking have zero faith. You know, Carter,
I'm a realist, Shasky.
Money has insulated you, all right? Us commoners, we're used to adversity. Us people that have been fighting, toothing, and clawing our way to the top, all right? We are used to this darkness.
Yeah, I mean, well, trust me, as a Niners fan, I'm used to this darkness too with the injuries. But
strap the chin strap on and let's go.
Just, hey, when I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it.
That was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. Introducing the 5-year price guarantee, one consistent internet price for the next 5 years. Guaranteed. We got Steiny. We got Guru. They're coming up next. You know what's going to be brought to you by? Fremont Bank, which is here for you and here for good, Carter.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.